It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Wisconsin is a powerhouse in many competitive areas, including an academic contest for middle and high school students. We'll find out how the Madison team fared in this year's African American History Challenge Bowl. Now, in a letter submitted to staff at the State Department of Veterans Affairs, Secretary Dan Zimmerman announced that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs had not renewed a grant that provides funding for a program that assists homeless veterans in the state. In light of that news and the ongoing audits into conditions at hospitals that serve veterans in Wisconsin, four state lawmakers have sent a letter to Zimmerman to implore him to find the funding needed to bolster these services. Representative Katrina Shanklin was one of the co-signers of the letter. She's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District, which includes Stevens Point. Representative Shanklin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why did the Joint Finance Committee reach out to Veterans Affairs Secretary Dan Zimmerman?
So my Democratic colleagues and I wrote a letter to the secretary to have a vital conversation about our veterans, including not only the veterans' home at King and the needed capital improvements we absolutely must invest in, but also the other programs that we want to see funds for released immediately. The budget is about a month late now. You know, it's 25 days past due, so we're getting closer and closer to an impasse that not only will affect our roads and our schools and our local governments, but also will affect the people of Wisconsin. And we want immediate action on investing in our veterans. So we requested that the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs file a 1310 request with the Committee on Finance. So what that does is it essentially allows us to release the funds immediately, which we believe is not only necessary, but urgent.
So let's kind of unpack that a little. You mentioned the veterans' home at King. There have certainly been a lot of news stories about that. There have been audits of that veterans' home. What has come out of those audits that you feel really needs to be addressed immediately?
The audits have shown that there are serious issues at King. And in fact, the nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau is still conducting an audit right now on King. But what we found from investigative reporting, particularly from the Cap Times, is that there has been questionable drinking water. You know, the drinking water was yellow. There have been moldy walls, stained floors, potentially unsafe equipment. We believe that when it comes to the water supply, the electrical substation replacement, and just the capital improvements that are needed at King, that we need to release those dollars right now. And that comes about to $12 million to make some improvements to King. We think there should be even more than that. But that's one piece of the puzzle here. And while we wait for the results of the final audit from the Legislative Audit Bureau, we also believe we need to have a conversation about King's homeless veterans program that's about to be completely phased out, just like it is at Union Grove. And we want to have that conversation with the secretary as well so we can discuss ways to invest in that so our homeless veterans have a place to go.
So just so I'm clear, my understanding is that with the budget not passed for the new biennium, that we're under kind of a continuing budget. Basically, things are being funded as they were in the previous, but these capital requests, that's a separate pot of money that action needs to be taken to be available.
Right. So it's included in the budget. We did vote to allow that to go forward, but we want that money released immediately. And that's why we're asking the secretary to come before us to request it, because we believe we can get that money out sooner. And as this budget impasse continues to happen, we think we need to have even more conversations about veterans programs and ways that we can help our veterans right now. I'm worried that this goes into the fall. And, you know, the longer you wait to make capital improvements, the greater the cost when you're doing infrastructure investments. And it also just speaks to the uncertainty that the budget impasse creates. People across the state are wondering what's going to happen to the budget, and we want to show our commitment to our veterans. And that's why Joint Finance Committee Democrats wrote this letter to Secretary Zimmerman.
And that program that provides support for homeless veterans, and that funding is going away, how many veterans are affected by that or could potentially access that program were it to be continued?
I think it's under 100. I think there are about 30 or so at one of the veterans' homes, 19 at another. I'm not sure about the third one, Chippewa Falls. That program is still continuing, but two of the three veterans' homes, King and Union Grove, will no longer have that homeless veterans program. And what I've discussed discovered is, you know, the state knew about this in December. They knew that we weren't going to be getting these grants from the VA for homeless providers. So my question is, we already voted on the Veterans Affairs part of the budget. Why wasn't the Finance Committee notified? Why wasn't the entire state legislature notified? Why didn't the governor put contingency funds to support our homeless veterans in the budget? Or later, why didn't he amend the budget or suggest it to the Finance Committee? Why didn't Secretary Zimmerman, when he came before us this spring for agency briefings, bring this up? He knew that certain grants would be terminated. Why didn't he request funds? Why? I have so many questions about why we had many opportunities as a state to invest in our homeless veterans program, but until the press reported it, many of us were left in the dark. And
so, to be clear, even though the budget has not been passed as a whole, the part that affects veterans has already been voted on. So people might be wondering, well, if the budget's still up in the air, it can be corrected, but it sounds like that's not the case.
It absolutely can, though, and I'm glad you brought that up. Today, we're requesting, as Democratic members of the Joint Committee on Finance, to our co-chairs, Representative Nygren and Senator Darling, the co-chairs of the Finance Committee, that we immediately meet and reconvene to reopen the DVA. It's a simple motion. I could just say, I move to open the DVA budget again. We could open it up. We could introduce one motion to fund the homeless veterans programs at all three veterans homes in the state. It would be, you know, about $1 million that we're talking about here. The state DVA has already said they can only fund this program until the end of 2017. So my question is, what is going to happen next? And why wasn't there groundwork being made when they knew in December that this could potentially happen? And now that they got the notification that they won't receive the federal funds, why shouldn't the state invest? So let's reopen. Everybody's waiting for the budget to pass. It's clear there's a transportation budget impasse. It's clear they're arguing over taxes and education. So why don't we meet to discuss veterans? Let's make that our next first vote. Why don't we invest in our veterans care? Why don't we ask the committee to release the funds to the Secretary of DVA to invest in King? And why don't we make sure our homeless veterans have a place to go?
We're talking with Representative Katrina Shanklin. She's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District, which includes Stevens Point. And we're talking about the letter that she and fellow Democrats from the Joint Finance Committee sent to Veterans Affairs Secretary Dan Zimmerman, looking to release funds to support programs for veterans. Representative Shanklin, what are you hearing from your district, from veterans in your district? What are they saying that they need in support in a variety of programs?
People continue to question why there's even a debate on whether or not we should invest in veterans and how much. These people have given everything to their country, and they believe that at a minimum, we should be investing in King immediately. They wonder why it's taken so long to get these needed capital improvements. They're certainly concerned about the raids of the King Veterans Home dollars being transferred over to other parts of the Veterans Affairs budget. And many people are concerned about the staffing shortages, the significant overtime at King. Since I live right next to, my district is right next to the district that houses King, I certainly hear from workers who are concerned as well about the need to invest in King, and they want what's best for veterans. So I think that this is a no-brainer. I believe that there should be strong bipartisan support. And I think, you know, when we request today that the Department of Veterans Affairs, that we meet to discuss the Department of Veterans Affairs and vote on more funding, that there shouldn't be an issue. If Republicans can find hundreds of millions of dollars to eliminate the personal property tax for some businesses, then they should be able to find a few million dollars for our veterans at a minimum. And I would say we should go much further than that.
So I am curious, this letter that was sent to the Veterans Affairs Secretary, Dan Zimmerman, was from Democratic members of the Joint Finance Committee. Have you talked with your Republican colleagues? Is there a reason why they weren't included on that, why they didn't sign on?
So when we sent this letter last week, I believe some of my colleagues on the budget committee were actually in Colorado for an ALEC conference. So I frankly have not seen many of them in the building recently. And when they have been, they've been meeting behind closed doors. And that speaks to a larger point. We should be having these meetings in the open. We should have a public notice. And I personally believe every member of the Finance Committee should sit down and listen to the people of Wisconsin while we have this impasse. So it's certainly not for a lack of trying. We do want these issues to be bipartisan, but sometimes it can be hard to find our colleagues who tend to be arguing with themselves behind closed doors.
Well, and you mentioned that the current budget has not been passed. We're 25 days over at this point. There are budget impasses on transportation, on taxes, on education. The Republicans are, as you said, kind of fighting with themselves. Have any of the Republican factions' positions reached out to Democrats? Because it seems like there's an opportunity for Democrats to sway things one way or the other.
Absolutely. There is an opportunity. And I think most people of the state want bipartisan action. They want us to invest in opportunities for everyone in Wisconsin to succeed. They want us to reward hard work and make sure that everyone has the ability to see a budget that works for them. And unfortunately, I would say, you know, there has been ample opportunity over the last few months to reach out to Democrats. We've continued to ask for a seat at the table, especially when it comes to education financing. We put out our own plan that lowers property taxes and invests more in our kids, especially when it comes to roads. It should be noted that if August 8th comes and we still don't have a budget, we're going to see project delays. And that costs the state money, that costs taxpayers, that costs construction workers. So we don't want to see that. We want to end this budget impasse. But unfortunately, Democrats haven't been invited to the table. And once we get there, you know, if there is bipartisan agreement, that would be ideal. But I assume, given the fact that they've mostly been spending time behind closed doors with each other, they're sort of arguing amongst themselves.
Representative Shanklin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Representative Katrina Shanklin is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 71st Assembly District, which includes Stevens Point. She joined us today to talk about a letter she co-signed with other Democratic members of the Joint Finance Committee requesting more funds for veteran services in Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll find out how Madison did in the annual African American History Challenge Bowl, which they've dominated in the past. Stay with us here on Central Time.